Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Joining us at this time is filmmaker Sara Misfer. Sara, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. How are you? How are you today?
I'm very well. How are you?
Cool. Woke up early and have nothing to do today. It all starts very late, like around 6 p.m. So I'm just having a morning for myself.
Gotcha. Yeah. So where are you actually speaking from right now?
I'm from Saudi Arabia, Jeddah, basically.
It's great to connect with you. We are actually going to be talking about The Girls Who Burnt the Night, which is your short film. It has been traveling to international film festivals and will be participating in one of the most prestigious festivals as far as short films are concerned, the Palm Springs International Short Fest. Yeah. How does that feel?
Great. Like, this is my main thing I'm doing these days, is trying to get my visa, basically, to attend it in person. Uh-huh. But it seems very hard, you know, we just opened from lockdown and everyone's trying to get a visa and it's very hectic. So I hope I can get it, because it's different when you're there, definitely.
Sure. I mean, you know, the hope for you is to actually be able to attend it in person. Have you been able to actually attend screenings of your film in person at all so far?
Yes, I've been to Cairo International Film Festival. That happened like last December.
Yes.
So I've been able, though it was already in lockdown, but I was able to get a permission to travel. Hmm. So it was amazing. And it feels always different, you know, because even if it's virtual or something, the idea of film festival and like meeting so many people and watching different films, being surrounded with different backgrounds, it's amazing. So this is what I'm aiming to do with Palm Springs.
Well, fingers crossed that you'll be able to actually go there. We'll be talking about your short film in a little bit. But first, I mean, this is the first time we talk, and I wanted to kind of start off with an icebreaker question, and you can feel free to answer it in any way you like. You're a filmmaker, you hold a degree in cinematic art, so there's no questioning your commitment to cinema. But what is it about cinema that made you decide this was the art form through which you wanted to express yourself and in which you wanted to pursue a career?
See, this question, I always get it, and sometimes I'd be very sure of the answer, like, because growing up, my family moved from their hometown to another town. We barely had connection with other people. We don't have cousins around us, and the only window that I knew, and it made me connect with the world, was cinema, the films, like, the people I know, friends I make, and stories that made me grow just from films, you know. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really connected with people around me. And sometimes I think, you know, when it's for me, when people ask you, why do you love this person, or why this person you feel it's the right one, you don't usually have a clear answer. You just feel this is it.
Sure.
So this is how I feel about cinema, like, I might have so many feelings, and this is how I want to express myself, and I barely can express myself verbally, and all I know how to do is visuals and stories. So I would say it's the right choice for me, even if sometimes I lose the right answer for this question.
Sure, yeah.
It just feel right.
But it's a difficult career to get into, right?
It's very difficult. That's why sometimes you ask yourself a question, was this the right choice? Mm. Does it really matter all what you're doing? Would it work out? What's even working out for this career? What is a success in this career? This is the question. What does it make, like, a film, a successful film, or a great film? All these questions you carry on with you the whole career. And I don't think you have clear answers. You just love it, and this is what drives you.
Having spoken to filmmakers from the region, including actually Haifa Al-Mansour, who obviously is a hugely important filmmaker from Saudi Arabia, it feels like it's almost like cinema is being rediscovered right now, or has been for the past few years. Would you agree with that? Do you feel like there is a burgeoning movement, a freshness in cinema right now in Saudi Arabia, in that region?
Definitely, yes. it started with this like program opening for us, like cinematic art. That was it's the only program in the region, which says this is just the start. People started to make films. Some of them are scared to have it as a career. Some of them just like their love for the cinema is driving them. It's very new and everyone's trying to discover this, but it's been definitely emerging for like, I would say, past 10 years.
And is that from both the filmmaking side, or is there also an audience, do you feel, like an interest in cinema from people to watch the films as well as make the films?
Both, because definitely people here are very interested to watch films. Like, they've been growing up on watching Egyptian cinema, because this is like the most famous and well-known cinema in the region, like mm-hmm. in the Middle East. So they were interested from the first place to watch films. So imagine having films from your own country, people that look like you and speak like you and have some like traditions and stuff that you don't see in other films. So that would connect you somehow. You feel more relation with this film.
And of course, yes, cinema is an art form, is your art form of choice, your chosen art form. But I've read a little bit about you and you've worked in other art forms as well. I was intrigued that you also have experience in immersive theater. Is that right?
That's right. That was like not before lockdown. It was like in 2019, uh-huh. I guess. We had like this summer season for like visiting the cities. It's very like where you do so many activities, so people, whenever they're visiting, you go to so many places. We were located in Old Jeddah, which is a very traditional place where you find all the houses exactly looked like the 60s and 50s and so on. So we made sure one of the houses is very safe, and we started this immersive theater. We wrote it like in 3 months. Then we played it for 1 month. 1 month, yeah, it was 1 month. I was in the part of the writing team. Then I was assistant director when it went to production, and I acted one role, like a very small role, and it was different experience, an amazing experience. It felt totally different than films, not even similar in like not 1%.
Yeah,
and it was amazing.
And all that, of course, contributes to one's, let's say, formation as an artist. You know, you need that kind of diversity and variety. But coming to The Girls Who Burned the Night, first off, just so that we don't leave any of the listeners out, you're probably sick of kind of answering this question, but would you be able to maybe say a few words about the story of the film to introduce it a little bit?
Yeah, so basically The Girls Who Burned the Night follows two sisters in an engagement night, where one of them wants to go to the grocery shop, a near grocery shop, but gets denied by her grandmother. So this denial turns the event into a violent turn and a different way throughout the night, where they get to discover themselves and each other, the two sisters, because one of them like wants to go and the other is like afraid to do that. So by this, they get to know themselves more and each other as sisters, and to get to know their environment, because the environment in this film is a character as well.
Great. And one of the characters of the film, actually, her name is Selsa Bail, I believe. To me, she seemed to embody a type of rebellious character. Would you agree with that?
She was a very mad character. She didn't understand why would you tell me no, and if there is no clear reason I wouldn't go, so why I'm not allowed to go outside, why I'm not allowed to get what I want, and all the excuses you're saying doesn't make sense to me. So she's driven by her own madness. She's a very mad character.
Is this something that you have also experienced in your personal life?
Yeah, I've said that many times. I'm a very angry person. This is how I perceive my feelings. This is how I feel it. This is the only form I know. If I don't get this, or I'm not allowed to do this, or if it doesn't make sense to me, then I'm very mad. I get very angry, and I don't get it. You know when you don't get something, why?
But anger is an energy, right? It can be used for good things too. I always believe that in my heart.
Sometimes it can be a very healthy feeling because it drives you to places that maybe if you don't get it, but you're not mad, you wouldn't be able to actually get to know why and push to the limit. So it's a very good way to express yourself.
Yeah, I also found that the characters in this film have a problem, it seems, almost sharing a proper conversation or even giving straight answers to each other's questions. Were you trying to highlight a problem of communication?
They definitely don't, because first, when you don't understand yourself, you won't be able to like ask question or answer questions. Then imagine not even knowing the person in front of you very well, or having like miscommunication. So many expectations, so many ideas in your head, and you don't just say it. You leave it in your heart for years, or like leave it in your mind. So that leads to this miscommunication, the conversation.
And out of curiosity, is there any specific reason why you decided to set the story of the film in and around an engagement?
So I was very interested in the in this environment in the first place. This is what we call like here in Saudi, it's istiraha. It's like a place where you go and chill, and that's it. Though it's just a normal house, you know, it gives you nothing. Yeah. Different than where you live exactly, but it's a place people usually go there and celebrate either some event, or they just go and chill there. And personally I find it very depressing, and it gives you nothing, and it changed nothing in your mood. So usually I grow up, me and a lot of people in my age, whenever they say, okay, we're going to istiraha, this place, for the weekend, you just get mad. That's it. That's the only feeling you feel. You don't feel like, oh, I'm excited, or no, it's just, no, shit, this is another boring weekend. So having this, I was very interested in this environment because like it makes you even more mad. And usually it's in places where there's nothing near you. It's just like a lot of sounds around you. So it's a very interesting environment, and it can express so many things other than, it's very layered environment. So I chose this this event because of the place in the first place. Then because this is something the grandmother can be busy doing the whole day, when these two characters think there is something more important than their uncle getting married.
To me, it felt like this particular location, this house that's guarded by a big door, you don't see anything that's going on outside once you're in, is almost like a character in the movie.
It is. It's definitely a character. Like, that's why when usually like I'm introducing the film, is like they get to know themselves and each other and the environment, the place they're in, because some places just makes you feel double your feeling, and or makes you feel like it's very depressed engagement night. If you see that, it's not like there is a lot of like cheering songs and clapping. There's almost, you can barely hear each like songs in the background. It's very dark. There's barely lights on. It's a very dry environment, and this makes at least Tel Sabil more angry and has her own reasons to even go out.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Intensifies the atmosphere.
Exactly.
Speaking of the house being a character in the movie, now, I'd love to know more about the actors who actually play the human characters in the film. Would you be able to tell me a little bit about how you cast the film, and just generally how you worked with your actors in this film?
So basically in Saudi Arabia, it's not easy at all to find actor or actresses, especially around the age of the grandmother, because women actresses around this age might face a lot of social pressure to go on television or cinema and like be part of this, because cinema just emerged like let's say 10-15 years from now. So imagine this age and this generation, how do they feel and react towards cinema? So it was very hard finding actresses. We looked for people, we couldn't find, and I'm very interested to cast non-professional actors, and I believe they're the best and they can give you everything that you need, and they're real to themselves and they're real to their emotions. They don't teach themselves how to feel, they just feel it and do it. So what we did is basically, actually, we went around schools in here in Jeddah. We were like in their break time, we would go to this big hall and gather all the students, and we're like, we're filmmakers, we're doing a film, and this film is about this. And they would really find it very silly, and they would make fun of us, and we would pretend it's all okay and continue the conversation. And it's like, whoever is interested, please talk to us. We'd like to cast you. Until, like, we went to 3 schools, and by chance, one of the girls were interested, and she actually came to the auditions, which is the sister, Salsabil's sister, Jenna. Her character name is Wasan. So basically, she came to the audition, and she was amazing. Usually what I do is basically talk to her, give her one of the scenes, and it doesn't have to be from the film, just to see how she reacts. And we didn't do that with her because the conversation was very interesting, and she was very true to herself and her emotions, and she had this very powerful character and this powerful face. You would say and feel what she's feeling just by looking at her face, and immediately I know she is this girl, because in the film originally she was younger than this, because Wasan in the film was like 14, and I wrote her to be like 12, but just seeing her and feeling her emotions is like, okay, I'm gonna change this to be like 14 years old character. And she connected us somehow with the other girl, which is Salsabil.
Yeah.
And this is how we found these two girls. Then the grandmother was the mother of one of our friends. We wouldn't imagine, like, not in a million years she would act, but we looked and she was like, I think my mother would be interested. Do you want to try? And she came to the audition, and it worked out very well.
Yeah, it's interesting what you're saying, that it's difficult to find actresses of an older generation to be in films. But that also that you like to work with non-professional actors, let's say, because what do you think? Do you think it's because you think they add something to the film, maybe authenticity?
Yes, definitely. Their faces, their characters, mm-hmm. their feelings, because they don't even have to try, you know. They're true to themselves, and they understand. They usually, because I didn't act in other films, I didn't go to film school. If I'm sad, this is what I'm going to do. So this is what I'm going to do as well in screen. And it feels very true.
Yeah.
You just feel it.
Yeah. Well, Sarah, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and I wish you all the best, and hopefully you'll be able to get to Palm Springs too. I think it would be a great experience.
Thank you, Matt.
All right,
thank
Sarah.
You, Matt.
Thanks very much.
Nice to meet you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.